This is Without Compromise, a show that explores what happens when you won't settle for anything less than your crazy ideas. We'll talk to athletes, founders, adventurers, and entrepreneurs of all kinds about living without compromise. I'm your host, Mason Gravely. Welcome to the show.
We're programmed for survival, so our instinct is to give up on these situations, to move away from them.
I thought if I didn't sign up for that race, that I was just going to disappear.
It doesn't have to be these big, huge things that everyone thinks you need to do to make a difference.
As you may know, folks, the college basketball tournament is upon us. Games are starting. They started yesterday, and the women's games start today. And we are talking with college basketball superstar Alyssa Usby. Alyssa plays for a very large school in North Carolina, I'll leave it at that, and has done some incredible things in the last 4 years. She has broken records. She has set new bars for the players behind her. She is the first woman in her school's history to get a triple-double. And we are going to learn from her today what it takes to be this great, the things that she does to get herself to this point, how she's preparing for the road ahead, whatever that might bring. And we'll also hear about what has given her her signature toughness and how growing up with three older brothers probably contributed to that. Follow along with Alyssa's journey through the tournament. It's an exciting time of year. And for Alyssa and all the other trailblazers out there, cheers. If you want to try Trailblazer, the beer we brew to honor Women's History Month, go to athleticbrewing.com or go to the show notes where you can learn more. All right, let's hop in. Alyssa Usby, welcome to Without Compromise.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
But I want to know, it looks like a beautiful day there. Where are you coming from?
So I'm currently in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. This is where I go to school. And we're on spring break right now, but obviously being in basketball season, we're still on campus. But we've had beautiful weather here, and it's much nicer than where I'm originally from, which is Rochester, Minnesota. Right now, the weather is not so great there, so I'm happy to be in North Carolina.
The other Rochester.
Yes, the other Rochester, not Rochester, New York.
Which I'm sure you are tired of clarifying. That is so, yeah, take us through those differences. Like, what's the state of basketball in Rochester, Minnesota? Like, what was it, you know, always kind of on the back burner to hockey or something else? Like, what's basketball like there?
Basketball is still there to some extent. You know, there's been a lot of big names out of Minnesota. Like, if anybody recognizes them, like Chet Holmgren, Paige Beckers, Jalen Suggs, just a couple like really big names that have come out of Minnesota. But besides like a few high schools and the University of Minnesota, there really isn't much excitement for basketball. I do think it has taken a back burner to other sports, specifically hockey, because those seasons are both in winter. And so that was actually a big part of my decision process in choosing North Carolina, because I wanted to go to a place that like had people in the state that were just so overjoyed and thrilled to be a part of a basketball culture. And so that's something that I've fully experienced here, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
You really went for it too, like one of the meccas, you know. Chapel Hill is no joke. Did you have like a welcome to D1 basketball moment, like, oh man, I'm not in Rochester anymore?
Yeah, I would say like one of my first basketball workouts, you know, I was under recruited. I wasn't on like all the big ESPN top 100 projections for my class or anything like that. But I chose North Carolina because it was the scariest choice. And I knew there wasn't anybody else that I really looked up to in terms of like a college athlete at the time that kind of paved the way. I just kind of felt like I was alone on this journey, obviously besides my family, which has supported me for so long. But I was like, I think I got to go with the scary one. And so that's why I chose North Carolina. And then when I came out here, one of my first workouts, I remember just, you know, it was pretty brutal. I felt like I was going to throw up. I wasn't as physically adjusted and acclimated to the different style play and stuff like that. So that's when I was like, whoa, okay, I'm in college now. Gonna have to get used to this.
That can be a make or break moment for people. And so it sounds like this was really a stretch goal for you. Like, okay, I'm going to go to the Mecca. I'm going to really push myself. Was there any moments of self-doubt in that?
Oh, there was definitely a lot of moments of self-doubt. I think as soon as the season had started, this was the first basketball team, or really sports team in general, that I haven't been a starter on. And so that was, like, I knew I wasn't going into a opportunity where I was, like, just going to be given an opportunity to start. And so I knew I had to earn it, but it was still kind of a shock. I was like, whoa, like, I'm on the last seat on the bench. Like, I am the last option to get in the game. And that's just such a different reality when you come from, again, like a smaller state in terms of like the basketball popularity. So, you know, there's a lot of competition there, but there's like a lot more opportunity to start on some of these teams.
Mm-hmm. And it was also not your main focus. You just had other sports you played too and were doing really well. So you almost had these other buckets you were really successful in to kind of take the pressure off however you're performing on the court.
Exactly, yeah. And I played softball and soccer growing up, and I started on those teams as well. But like you said, it kind of took me back for a moment, and there was a lot of doubt. But it was I just had to rely on the people around me, like my parents and my brothers. I have three older brothers who have played an instrumental role in my life and in sports in general. And so I just had to stick with it, and I'm really glad I did.
That was actually the first question on my list was growing up with three brothers. I mean, is that like the secret to being as tough and as just such a presence on the court as you are? I'm sure that taught you that was a different environment than otherwise.
Yeah, I definitely attribute a lot of my successes and my personality of being a little more rough around the edges is what a lot of other teams describe me as. And just that grittiness and competitiveness, I just didn't shy away from that with my brothers. So I don't know if that's necessarily like the secret sauce, but for me, it definitely was, because I treat like every practice, every game, just every opportunity I have to compete, I just love that grittiness.
Have any of them gotten to the point, like gone and played sports in college at this level like you, or are you kind of like, you're the one that made it?
I was the one that made it. I was kind of the trailblazer for our family. I'm the first collegiate athlete in my family. And it's just been kind of cool to see the shift from my brothers constantly picking on me to now being in the stands wearing my jersey and even getting the refs' names and yelling at the refs, calling them out, and just being my biggest fan. So it's been incredible to kind of see how our relationships have grown over time because of sports.
That is awesome. Yeah, you're not just like you've come a long way from the last spot on the bench. When did you start seeing success like internally? Because sometimes that can differ than when, you know, us as fans watching think you're kind of making it. When did it start to feel that way to you?
I think it was like maybe 2 months into the season started. And I just prided myself on being consistent and consistently competitive. So every day I would be the first one there, last one to leave. I'm just trying to do as much, like more work than anybody. And I knew that over time I would start like climbing the ladder quicker than my teammates. And so I really just stuck with it. And I eventually got a starting position that same year by Christmas. So that was about 3 months into the season. So it was just something that I had to really trust. And, you know, there's still a lot of finding your identity when you're a freshman and you're pretty much an addition to what the team already has. So I was looking in for ways how to fill holes. So I noticed that there wasn't really someone that was aggressively trying to go rebound and earn extra possessions, you know, doing like the little dirty work things that not a lot of people do. And how my team describes players now is we categorize people as gritty or pretty. And so I felt like we had a lot of like really pretty girls on our team that could make big shots, could like finish nice layups, but not as many people that were gritty, that were willing to dive on the floor and defend until your legs are just about to give out, but keep going. And so I kind of filled the holes in that way. And then I found that my coaches saw a lot of value in that and took advantage of it.
Boxing out, just those little things that really make a big difference at the end of the game. It's like, I'll sit there and watch a game and I'm like, not one person's boxing out. Like, how have they gotten to this level without doing that every play? Like, I just, it was drilled into my head. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it would lead to like half my points every game. I'm like, how is no one just doing that one little thing? Yeah, I totally I totally get that. And you saw that, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's not as flashy. And if you feel that, you kind of like with athletic, I mean, we saw that with non-alcoholic beer. No one was doing this, not well, at least. And soon as we were like, we're going to not only do this, but do it great. It's like we reaped those rewards right away. And it sounds like you did too, like right as the season was getting going, you already got a starting position. What about on the court? Was there a moment or a game early on that was like, okay, this is where I'm at? Or maybe it was like, okay, I got this, or I can do this.
I would say there was one particular game that I performed really well in. It was against our rivals, and the rivals for North Carolina, one of the rivals. So obviously, like, the traditional rivalry is between UNC and Duke.
Never heard of them.
And it's, another one is NC State. So I think that game I had 20 points. I was 4 for 4 from the three-point line. Incredible defensive game. Held one of their best players to very few points. And when I did that as a freshman, I was like, whoa. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be here for a while. And I'm going to make sure that any opponent that we come across, they're going to feel me. And they're going to be like, dang, this freshman, like, we got to, like, watch out for it. And then anything that I can do to help make my team better. That was, like, the biggest thing. Again, like, back to filling holes. Like, whatever we needed. If we needed someone to set a great screen to get somebody else open, I was the first one, like, raising my hand, jumping in line, hopping on the court to do that, because I just wanted our team to win. And because I know that if we win as a whole, then we'll all win individually as well.
Now, you've come a long way since then. You've had a lot of accolades, a lot of awards, a lot of records. You know, as you look at this point in your career, what would you say is something that really sticks out as something you're particularly proud of?
I would say continuing to do things the right way and trusting that you'll be rewarded along the way. And so for me, what that means is, like, in the summers when, like, people are going on their couple week vacations or they're doing this or that, like, I want to be in the gym working out. I want to be getting better because I trust that the work I put in, I'll see the results down the line. And that's one thing that I can relate to Athletic Brewery and why the brand was attractive to me, in the sense of non-alcoholic beer, because it's like when you do those things the right way, you're going to see the benefits. So I see a lot of benefit myself personally. I don't like to drink alcohol because I find a lot of value in feeling like my best self every day so I can perform at my highest level. And so that's something that's just really attracted me to you guys, because I've already seen benefits in my life by choosing the untraveled path or the less traveled path.
How close were you to dual sporting? Would you have tried that? How possible was that for you?
Oh, that's something I think about way too often. I really wish it would have been able to work out. I think I admire anybody who dual sports, but especially if one of their sports is basketball, because of how long the season is. It's like we're basically on campus in June, and then we don't get a significant break until the end of the season. Like, for Christmas, we'll get about 4 days, and other holidays, we might get one day. So it's pretty tough scheduling-wise, but I really wish I would have dual-sported. That was one of my dreams that I tried my best to make come true, but basketball was a priority for me, so I had to kind of buckle down and just focus on one.
I think you made a good choice.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm not upset about it, but in another life, I'd be like, oh, that'd be cool to try.
All right, as you look back on your career, I heard you say at one point that a really, really memorable experience was that first Duke-UNC game where you got to kind of experience, like, what the inside of the building was like. Maybe watching as a kid or watching before being a player there, it was, you know, oh, that's a crazy environment, but you didn't give it much thought. But being there was a totally different thing. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I remember being in Rochester, Minnesota, and going with my parents to, like, a local restaurant, and we're sitting at the table, and I'm looking up, and I see, like, Carolina and Duke playing on the TV, and thinking about that as an opportunity for myself just did not seem possible. I couldn't even dream of it. I couldn't imagine that because it felt so far removed. I just felt like there's no way that I could, like be there one day. And then again, just kind of paying attention to the details and focusing on my basketball process, it eventually led me there. And the first time I was playing against Duke, I just remember looking around before the jump ball, and I was like, holy crap, this is exactly what I was watching on TV like 2 years ago when I had no idea that it could happen. So it was just so surreal, and that's a moment that I'll never forget. I can picture myself just standing there and looking around, not a seat open in the arena, and just so much energy, and being in the state of North Carolina, playing at Cameron Indoor or playing at Carmichael Arena, there's so much energy and love for basketball, which kind of made me re-fall in love with the sport. I mean, I always loved basketball, but I was like, whoa, wait, this is why I want to be here, is because of this environment that's been cultivated here.
That's a great re-fall in love with the game. What is something that you feel like you've done well to help you not only like maintain a love for the game, but get better at it and appreciate it even more as you've gone through your collegiate career? Is there anything, is like time away really important? It sounds like you try to take advantage every chance you get of getting better. Have you needed to cultivate that love, or has it been pretty natural?
Yeah, I always thought, I was like, man, I got to figure out how to schedule in some time away, and I just need to not think about basketball. But how I've made it work for me is just using basketball as an avenue to do other things. So, for example, I played on the USA 3-on-3 basketball team. Mm-hmm. And so I got to travel all over the world with like different sets of teammates and play basketball. And that felt like time away from my traditional 5-on-5 college team. And then also just giving back to the community. So I've run a couple of my own basketball camps. I'm at the UNC summer basketball camps. And just being able to give back to little girls that remind me of myself is something that's really refreshing. So I never really felt like I had to take time away from like the ball itself, but I just found like, again, like different avenues or different versions of basketball that fulfilled me enough where I didn't really want to take any time away. I just loved it so much.
Hmm. Having camps at this age is so crazy. Is it surreal? Like having kids come up to you like, oh my gosh, you know, Alyssa, do they ask for your autograph and stuff?
Oh yeah, especially even on campus, if I'm walking to class, like some of my peers and students will be like, oh, Alyssa, could you sign this for me? And I'm like, dude, of course. And I love connecting with fans, whether it's adults or like my peers in classes or even just little kids. I think it's so cool. And that's something that'll never get old. Like I will never say no to an autograph, to a picture, to anything. Because I imagine myself in that position too. Like when it's your one chance, you get to meet your idol or something. And if they were, you know, just really not feeling it that day, or I don't know, they had some other reason where they're like, oh no, I don't really have time. Like that would just be heart crushing. And so I'm like, I'm going to be there for every single person who finds some value in what I'm doing here and that my presence provides.
Yeah, I've heard you mention in other interviews that the people you surround yourself with, you eventually become. It's like their habits, their kind of standard, their level kind of like rubs off on you, or it just helps you get there. You know, kind of the average of the five people you're around the most. Have you found that to be true? How have you changed since you've been there?
Yeah, no, that's definitely something that I still stick with, and I have my whole life. I always say that. Yeah, like the five people that you surround yourself the most with, you're going to become the average of what that group is. So I'm very selective in the people that I choose to spend a lot amounts of time with, because I do believe that their habits and things will rub off on you. So I'm very particular about like those people that I hang out with. And even when choosing a school, I wanted to go to a place that would attract really great people. And I felt like the brand is known worldwide. The basketball brand in itself is also known worldwide. So it would eventually attract so many great people, whether their strengths were in academics, music, athletics, in all these different areas. And I was like, that's the kind of environment or like that like shark tank that I want to be in, is with all these other really great people, because then I have no other option but to rise to the challenge and rise to the average of being great. And so I've stuck with that, my entire career, and I think it's helped me grow in a lot of ways, and it's helped me learn how to say no to like certain people or to certain situations that I don't fit, that I don't think fit my habits or my goals or my beliefs.
What would you say is one of the most unexpected things, lessons you've learned through this college athlete experience? What's something you're like, you know, I didn't expect to walk out of here with that perspective or that lesson, but it's, you know, it's important to me.
Gosh, there's a lot. I would say being an advocate for yourself. And so in the athlete way, that would be advocating for your body. Like if something in my knee doesn't feel right, or if like my, like something in my head or any body part really, then to speak up about it. And if something, and if you get told, hey, no, I think you're fine, but you really feel like something's not right, then you got to keep advocating for yourself and find somebody else that will listen to you, that someone will help you. And so I'd say really just like taking ownership of my actions in my life and not leaving it up to chance and leaving it up to somebody else to decide and to make a decision. There's a little more medical story behind that, but really the gist of it is like, I've learned how to say no. That was something that's very hard for me, especially being from Minnesota and the Minnesota Nice. We like to be people pleasers, but I've learned how to take control of my life, and I'm really proud of myself because I'd rather miss out on something or have something be my fault. Again, like I don't want to leave things up to chance for other people because it's my life and I want to control how I go about it because that's what's going to bring me the most peace and satisfaction.
I want to ask you about becoming the first player at UNC to get a triple-double, first ever. Take us through that night. Take us through that game. And when did you feel like this was a reality? Were you even thinking about that? I mean, are y'all like paying attention to these kinds of things as it's happening? Like, oh my gosh, I'm getting pretty close to a triple-double here. And was anyone like, hey, you're going to be the first player ever to have one of these? You know, take us through that.
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, I remember so that someone said there hasn't been a triple double here. And I was like, no way. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm looking up in the rafters and I see all of these national player of the years and all of these retired jerseys. And I'm like, there's just absolutely no way that nobody has gotten it. And I remember I told my strength coach that's from Minnesota that I work out with when I come home for Christmas or on any other trips back home. And I was like, dude, I'm going to be the first one to get it. Just watch. And then 2 years later, it's my senior year. We're playing against Syracuse at home. And we had a post player that had transferred in and she had been starting for us all season. And I remember I was like, oh my gosh, she is just destroying right now. Every ball I threw into her, she was posting up and she scored. And then I was like dishing out like passes onto the 3-point line for a couple of our 3-point shooters. And everybody was just hitting.
Yeah, you had like 9 assists in the first half, I think.
Yeah. So I got 9 assists in the first half. I had no idea how many assists I had. But after halftime, my coach was like, well, so you have 9 assists. And I was like, no way. I was like, what? And then I think I had 9 assists, and I think I had maybe 9 rebounds and not as many points. And so I was super excited. I was like, oh my gosh, I could actually get this. How cool would that be? And then I finally reached like the rebound mark. So I think I finished like 16 rebounds, and then I got my 10th assist, and I was like, wow, like I'm glad it worked out this way where points was the last thing, because I feel like sometimes it's easier for you to put in the basket than to try to set up your teammate and like kind of hope that they make the shot on that one time you need it. I was throwing in the ball one time, and there's a couple of my friends that are in the student section. They're like, oh, listen, you're 1 point away from a triple double.
And how much time was left in the game?
I think it was in the third quarter.
Oh gosh.
So there's still plenty of time to go.
Still though, it's like, oh, gotta get it.
Yeah. And so when they said that to me, I didn't really want to react. So I just like gave them a thumbs up. And then at any time I throw in the ball a lot, whether it's out of like baseline out of bounds to start the half or whatever it may be, I'm always throwing it in. And so many people told me all like the whole third quarter, they're like, Alicia, you're so close. You're so close. And then I had gotten fouled and I'm on the free throw line. And so I have 2 shots and I'm 1 point away. I've shot the first shot. I miss. I hear everybody go, oh, And I was like, oh my gosh, everybody knows too. And then I was like, oh, it would have been so nice to make the first free throw so I could just, you know, not worry about the second one and just shoot it. But then the second shot came up and I made it and just the place erupted. And I was like, wow, everybody knew it too. That's pretty cool. And then my coach subbed me out to give me a standing ovation and the rest of the crowd stood up. And so it was a very special moment. And I'm really glad that I got to experience it with my teammates because they make this experience worth it. And so getting an accomplishment like that is just so awesome to have my best friends there to do it with me.
I mean, you're is it crazy to think that you're part of like UNC basketball history now? Like I know this, you know, people are telling you that and you are having a great career regardless of this, but that's definitely a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's bizarre. It still hasn't really like sunk in yet, and you know, I kind of get reminded of it. Like I just went out to lunch with a couple of my teammates like an hour ago, and I've never met the waiter before, and he walks up and he's like, hi, Miss Triple Double. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I forgot about that. So I think that's just like a really cool moment. And I'm just really grateful for it and grateful to be a part of this program.
That is so cool. So cool. Yeah. You're going to forever be known as something connected to Triple Double. That's
It's looking like it for sure.
Hey, you know, not a bad thing to be associated with.
Not at all.
What would you say, you know, I want to ask real quick, and, you know, we're obviously talking because, you know, we have a deal with you, an NIL deal. How much did that, like, change the game for your team and players? And you've kind of gone through school and some really pivotal changes, you know, the transfer portal, COVID era, and NIL. Like, I feel like you're experiencing a lot of change in your four-year career. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of things that are going to be like, okay, that was pre this, now it's post this, and you're right there on that kind of crossover. Was that all hard to kind of navigate through, or did y'all feel like you handled it well?
I feel like collectively myself and my teammates handled it really well. I think one of the biggest lessons that we learned from all this change, like you said, from COVID into NIL, the transfer portal, all those things, was that you have to be adaptable. And I think that's a really great skill to have just in life in general and moving into the business world, because as COVID was here, like, we had no fans in the stands. Like, we had zero people watching our games.
I was pretty used to that for my career, but not because of COVID.
Darn it. But yeah, so you just have to, we definitely found ways to take advantage of those opportunities. We kind of had to shift our perspective to view them as opportunities. So there's like new things that came from that, and NIL specifically, that's just been a game changer. It's been so great for me as well as my teammates, because I feel like we're like finally getting kind of compensated for like the off the court work that we can do for brands and for the communities in general. And I think that's really great because it motivates student athletes to not only stay in college and to kind of be a part of these great communities, but to give back to those people within their communities, whether that's like signing autographs and doing like signing autographs at like a autograph party, or just connecting with brands and kind of finding their voice outside of their sport. It's been really great overall.
I know that you still have, you know, a big chapter to close, this tournament coming up, and there's a lot of expectation there. I'm sure there's a lot of excitement. You've been there before. What do you think you're going to miss most about this experience in college in these teams? What's something that you think will be either difficult to replicate or you'll always at least cherish about this experience?
I'm going to miss so many things about college. I always tell my teammates that I wish I could stay in college for like 10 more years.
You can. I stayed an extra couple years, but.
Can they transfer over your eligibility over to me at all or no? You got any left? No, but I'll definitely miss. I mean, I love the structure that college provides, like with going to class and playing basketball. because I love my routine. It's been so awesome. And the people I've met along the way have been really incredible. I have a couple really close teammates that we do everything with, or that I do everything with, and we'll go out to eat all the time, like after games, and sit in the locker room and talk for like 3 hours. We don't even realize that the time's flying by. And even like conversations on the bus to away games and stuff, like all those little moments, I think I'm going to miss the most. Because I know my high school, when I was in high school, my AAU coach always said, you'll never remember the score of the game, but you'll remember like how you felt and their interactions that you had. Like I do not remember that NC State game that we won. I had a big performance. I have no idea what that score was, but I remember celebrating with my teammates. I remember all going to get ice cream after that. So it's like those little moments I think are really special to me. And I'm just excited to continue these relationships post college. And I imagine that's pretty hard, because you don't have something that's really holding you down together, which is your schedule when you got to be here at this time and there at that time. But yeah, it's really kind of boiled down to the people and the community.
What's y'all's strategy going into the tournament? I know that you don't know. There's a lot of unknowns at this point, but how do you deal with the unknowns? Let's ask that.
So when you're waiting to see who you play a tournament, that's really a good time to focus on yourself individually and collectively as a team. So we're working a lot on our offense, sharpening up some defensive concepts that we want to make sure that we can carry over into the tournament. And then just the basic strategy that we're taking into the tournament this year is being the tougher team. Usually the tougher team will always win basketball games. So the tougher team is defined by a lot of things, whether it's boxing out your girl that's trying to crash for rebounds, diving on the floor, saving a ball from going out of bounds, winning at those 50-50 balls. So just being the tougher team is a concept that we like to take with us throughout the season. And there has been times when we've kind of lost a handle on it, and that's resulted in some losses. And so we know now with our experiences that we've had that that's something that really works for us.
No matter what the battle is, being tougher, that's not going to be a bad strategy when it comes to performance on the court. That's I love that. Let me ask you some rapid fire questions. Are you ready to jump into those? It doesn't have to be one word, but you know, a sentence or two, unless there's a story there, then definitely feel free to expound. But just to kind of get to know you a little more and some of your habits and whatnot. Okay. Then we'll wrap up.
Sounds good.
What are you most curious about right now outside of basketball?
The first thing that popped in my head are Legos. I love to build Legos. I'm currently building a grand piano out of Legos, and it's been so fun for me.
That's awesome.
I don't know why, but that's what I was thinking about.
You and my 5-year-old son.
Exactly.
He's like Lego crazy out of nowhere. I'm like, never heard of Lego, like never talk about it. And then all of a sudden he's hooked. So
yeah.
It's like, all right, we're going to Legoland for birthdays. It's like his personality now. So I'll tell him you'll be his new favorite player.
Yes.
It's so funny. I did not expect that. Proudest achievement outside of sports. Because you've got like 3 pages of records and stuff from high school and college.
I would say paying off my car.
All right. That's some real life. Yeah. That's some real life achievements right there.
Yeah, I definitely felt like a grown woman when I paid it off.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Biggest goal not yet achieved.
Yeah, I would say winning a ring, whether that's ACC championship, regular season, or tournament championship as well.
What's a daily habit you feel like you always stick to, or like that really helps you as you pursue these big goals?
I think it's being present in the moment. I think a lot of times you can let days get away from you by just kind of going through the motions and not being really intentional about the things you do. And for me, that means eating a sustainable and healthy meal, getting a good night's sleep, getting my homework done on time so then I can go to bed early. Just doing those little things that all then translate to my success on the court, because it's not just how much can I get into the gym and practice and perform well on game day. It's how do I do all those other little things that eventually just set me up for success.
That's great. And I didn't even mention, I'll mention in the intro, just your academic success as well and being on a lot of those teams too. I know you got to try some athletic. Was there an athletic beer or an athletic brew that you really enjoyed?
Run Wild IPA, for sure.
Okay.
And I'm also a little biased because the color of the can matches my team's colors perfectly. So
I was gonna really suggest was a perfect that. Fit. Yeah, I was going to say that blue's like perfect for y'all. So on each of our cans, this is my last question. It used to say brew without compromise, but we realized, doing something different, which was brewing beer without alcohol, took not just doing that with excellence. We had to kind of live with that, with excellence, which took like living without compromise. What does it mean to you to live without compromise?
To live without compromise to me means to be intentional about what you do in your daily habits and your daily living that ultimately lead you to your goal.
There you have it, folks. Again, you can follow Alyssa and her team's hopefully deep run into the Women's College Basketball Tournament. It's going to be some incredible stories, amazing games. Be sure to watch. And while you do, sip on a Trailblazer. Learn more about all our brews at athleticbrewing.com. You can order us there or use our store finder to find us on store shelves at the 50,000 plus retail locations at athleticbrewing.com.